Most of the heretical content making the rounds today are things the church has dealt with before in ages past and has sufficiently refuted. But we aren't aware of this, so we deal with it again as if it were new. Welcome to On Track, where we help believers in Christ to hold to your faith, stay the course, and finish the race. The wisest man who ever lived once said, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Is there anything of which one can say, "Look, this is something new"? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Some sobering words. That was King Solomon writing in the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you've never read this Old Testament book, it's worth your time. Here's a man who had it all. The guy had riches beyond anything we can comprehend. He had power. He had the respect of the nation and other nations. People would come from distant lands to hear him speak. And the Bible describes him as having a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. You could look at the book of Ecclesiastes as the story of someone trying every earthly thing to find meaning outside of God. And spoiler, he couldn't. The book opens with this. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." He goes into great detail about all that he did. Things that we can only dream of doing. Things we'd think that if we did them, would make us happy and content. He did it all. And he concluded that it was all meaningless. A chasing after the wind. But the verse we started out with has always stuck with me. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So when I look closely at the ideas that are popular with our culture today, I see that they look a lot like ones that have been before. Dressed in different clothes, maybe, but ideas that are not new. Now, why would this be? Why can we say there's nothing new under the sun? How could Solomon say that over 3,000 years ago? I think it's because human nature does not change. As much as we'd like to think we're autonomous, that we're completely independent, that we can be anything we want to be, we are created beings. Let me say that again. We are all created. We are not God. But as the Bible testifies, it is God that made us, along with everyone and everything else. And in making us, God designed us in a certain way. The Bible makes clear that we were made to be in relationship with Him, to love Him, serve Him, worship Him, and find our fulfillment in Him. I like the way that John Piper puts it. We were made to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. That's a really cool thought. But what's also true is that we have rebelled against Him. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, chose to disobey God, trying to become their own God. And as a result, sin entered the human race. I think it's undeniably true that we were made to need and to want God, because there's nothing outside of Him that can ultimately fulfill us. Our happiness, I think we all realize, is ultimately fleeting. The things we think will make us happy might, for a little bit, but it doesn't last, and we want the next thing we're convinced will make us happy. We are finite. We are mortal. Each of us will die one day, and our bodies will return to the dust that Genesis says we were made from. So while we were created for a special purpose, our sin nature gets in the way. And instead of doing what we were created for, we go our own way, searching for that fulfillment in something else, outside of our Maker. The Old Testament book of Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Because even though we have rebelled against Him and deserve His just punishment, He is merciful. And He provided a way for our forgiveness, while at the same time being perfectly just in punishing sin, by laying all of our sin on His suffering servant, as He's portrayed here in the Old Testament. We know His name is Jesus in the New Testament. So, human nature does not change. Therefore, our abilities are finite. Our thinking, our ability to reason, our creativity, our ideas, are all finite. So it's in our interest to study history to see what people before us have done and what they've tried and how it worked out. I've always said, I'd much rather learn from someone else's mistake than make it myself. We're incredibly privileged in our day to have access to the amount of information that we do. And unfortunately, we don't really do a whole lot with it. I once heard someone joke that, imagine telling someone in the 1950s that in about 70 years, we'll all have these devices that can access the whole of human knowledge and information. And they'll be so small, we can carry them in our pocket. We'll use them mostly to look at videos of cats and to get in fights with strangers. Sounds about right, doesn't it? We're all bent toward doing foolish things. Because we're flawed beings, we all have a sin nature. And if you study human history, you'll see it tends to repeat itself. Ideas, good and bad, are tried again and again with predictable results. My mother was a school teacher for more than 30 years. Shortly after she graduated from college, she was telling her mother-in-law, my grandmother, about the new ways of educating that she had been taught at her university. She excitedly said how these new methods would be so much more effective than the old ways. My grandmother just laughed and said, "Oh, honey, we stopped doing it that way years ago because it didn't work." What had been done was being done again. Here are a couple of other places I see this same repetitive cycle happening rather clearly. We've talked before on this podcast about critical theory and how its ideas are built on the table of Marxism. If you take away the table, the whole thing falls. The same ideas advancing today that make people think they're supporting something new and, shall I say, progressive, are really ideas made popular more than a century and a half ago, ideas that had devastating consequences for the nations that adopted them. But you could go back even further. The ideas of Marx, Lenin, Engels, and Hegel weren't new either. Since the dawn of time, man has wanted what others had, wanted power over them, wanted to be admired and adored by all. Yes, even wanted to be like God. Bill Federer is an author and historian who wrote in his book Change to Chains, "For most of the 6,000 years of recorded human history, power has been held in the hands of a few. Prior to the creation of the United States, most of the world was ruled by monarchs, with just a few significant alternatives to monarchy in all previous centuries. The default setting for human government was monarchy." End quote. When Marxists declared religion to be bad, in saying that there should be no god but the state, they were not saying anything new. While some may have mistakenly thought that a collectivist utopia was possible, they were still arguing for the government to be in charge of everything, and that the common citizen should own nothing. In other words, they were advocating for an all-powerful, totalitarian state, the concentration of power in the hands of a few, which inevitably would be headed by one man, as all communist governments have been. And the cycle repeats itself. Federer added, quote, "A recurring lesson from history is that totalitarian control of a state over its subjects is the norm," end quote. Another place I see this cycle happening is in some of the heretical teachings of our day that denies historic Christian doctrine. Since the gospel was first proclaimed and the church was born, there have been those seeking to deviate from the plain teaching handed down once for all, as the New Testament book of Jude says. There are those who have been deceived or seek to deceive others. Put simply, there have always been false teachers, and there's always been false teaching. And the church throughout its history has had to deal with and correct false teaching and heresies. But the really cool thing is that, especially in our day, we have access to a lot of their writings and refutations. The cycle of events tends to go that every so often someone will unearth one of these long ago, already dealt with heresies, and bring it to light as if it's something new. The church will refute it, and when the newness wears off and people begin to see it more clearly, they'll quietly move on to something else. And it seems like we're facing a flurry of these things all at once today. Ideas like Gnosticism, pantheism, panentheism, the denial of Jesus' divinity, the denial of original sin, or heaven and hell, these are some of the issues of our day. That, have been the issues of the day in centuries past. They may be expressed in today's vernacular, come in the form of books or popular magazines, be espoused by those with degrees, make the rounds on TikTok or Twitter, or any number of other places. They may be very popular, sound plausible, they could even be appealing. But if you listen closely, you'll hear an idea as old as time. Did God really say? It was the first lie told to Eve in the Garden of Eden. If the devil could get mankind to doubt that what God said was true, then they could be convinced to disbelieve him and disobey him. God had plainly told Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' But the serpent told them, 'You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Tragically, our first parents listened. They doubted what God said was true. They even tried to be like him, instead of loving him and enjoying freedom from evil. And the enemy's playbook has not changed. The idea that we can be our own God, the idea that what God has plainly said can't be trusted, it goes back to the very beginning. There is nothing new under the sun. And so, yes, there is wisdom in listening to old ideas that have stood the test of time and shown that they work. Just because something seems new doesn't mean it's better. There is wisdom in trusting the timeless truths of Scripture. And it's more than just saying, "the Bible says." It's good to know why you believe what you believe, why you can be confident the Bible is true. When you're confronted with something that challenges its authenticity, you can stand your ground. It's one of the reasons I started researching, writing, and podcasting on this very subject. I wanted to be even more confident, to be able to recognize and refute false ideas, and be able to encourage you to do the same. Studying apologetics has allowed my head the opportunity to lead when my heart would lag behind. I found that Scripture stands up to scrutiny. It stands the test of time. Its historical accounts are accurate. Its description of the human condition and of reality makes the most sense. For this and many other reasons, I can be confident that what I read in the Bible is truly God's written word, and I can trust it. Though seemingly new information and ideas appear constantly, when you dig deeper, you see that they're really not new. They've been before, and they likely will be again, until the Lord returns. But Jesus' words are eternal. "Heaven and earth will pass away," he said, "but my words will never pass away." That's a verse recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Here's how the book of Ecclesiastes ends. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Sobering words, but true. You want a fulfilling life? Don't look for the newest toy or car or house or vacation to make you happy. Don't work exclusively for your retirement years thinking that they will make you happy. Fear God and do what he says. Give your life to Jesus and walk in obedience to him. Because when all is said and done, living for the one who made you and loves you is the only thing that will satisfy. Thanks for listening to On Track. For more, visit our website at keeponTrack.org.